You're listening to the Igniting Souls podcast with Cary Oberbrunner, devoted to helping you become a soul on fire.
Cary Oberbrunner here. You're listening to the Igniting Souls podcast. We're going to have a blast today. This is called How I Overcame Depression. 10 responses when you feel stuck in the desert. All right. Now, you might think this is going to be a downer podcast. It's actually going to be a crazy cool, exciting one. Why? Because I think that there are some fantastic things awaiting you. In fact, if you are in the desert, this is actually a really good thing. And you might say, what are you talking about, man? Trust me. Here's the big thought of the day. Ready? The desert is a place of preparation before exaltation. Let me say that again. The desert is a place of preparation before exaltation. You might say, what is the desert, Cary? What are you talking about? Are you talking about this literal place? No, I'm talking about a place that we often are led into in life where it might feel isolated, it might feel desolate, it might feel lonely, but in reality, it is a massive place of preparation. In fact, check it out, folks. As I went over history, it was the people who were brought to the desert that had major, major assignments in life. Just listen to a few of these people. You ready? We have Moses. We have the nation of Israel. We have the prophet Elijah. We have John the Baptist. We have Jesus. We have St. Paul. We have all kinds of people. And you might say, well, Cary, a lot of those people are, you know, historical. They're from the Bible. Hey, we're going to take a deep dive. I mean, look, even if you want to say Steve Jobs, who was kicked out of his own company, even if you want to say Martin Luther King Jr., right, who was jailed at times, even if you want to talk about Nelson Mandela, okay, the point is this, folks. Everyone who made a significant impact in the world went through a desert-type experience. So for some of you, this is going to be the words of hope that you've needed because you've felt that maybe I am all alone, maybe I am isolated, maybe I am desolate, this type of thing. No, you're not. No, you're not. In fact, here's what I know. Each person who's ever been in the desert has had a significant assignment which required significant character development. Did you check that out? You are being called to such a fantastic adventure that you need to go through the desert to develop the character to sustain that. Why? Because look, many times on this podcast, I don't go into my faith, but I'm going to share a little bit about that today because it affects this whole concept of the desert. And if that's not cool for you, just skip this episode. Next week, we'll be talking about, actually, this is pretty cool. Next week, we're going to be talking about how to become a thought leader and certify people on your own content. So you might think, what does that have to do with anything? That is a fantastic episode. We got it coming up, and I get asked this question all the time. Cary, how do you become a thought leader? How do you certify people on your own content? Why would you do that? Should you do that? What are the ramifications? We're going to take a deep dive into that, but here's the point, folks. Sometimes you need to just take a step back and say, I'm in the desert, and because I'm in the desert, I need help. I need oxygen. I need a view of reality that's going to encourage me. Well, here's what I know. Many times we ask God for bigger blessings. Haven't you done this before? I have, right? You get on your knees and you say, God, I wish I had a bigger whatever, bigger influence, bigger tribe, more readers, I remember praying these prayers very early on in my career. Remember, I've been published now since 2004, so it's been a while. But when I first started, all the time I was saying, God, please use my life and help take the pain that I went through and exchange it for a promise of potential for other people. Don't waste your pain. That's a big concept. So I pray for all that. And what does God do? He sends me in a desert. You might say, what is going on? I mean, I agree. What is going on? See, God is like a heavenly father. And if we pray for all these big gifts, all these big things in life, and he knows it's going to destroy us, why would he give it to us? That's like me. I have young kids, and if they say at 11, 9, and 7, hey, I want a brand new car, Dad. Can I get one of those? The answer is absolutely not. They're not even tall enough to see above the dashboard. If I give them a car now, they are not mature enough to handle that vehicle. In fact, it will end up destroying them. So they haven't developed the character, maturity, growth, you name it. So why would I give them a gift that I know is going to injure them and hurt them and kill them? No, instead what God does is God is a good father. And he says, okay, you want more influence, impact, income? You want more success? You want more blessings in this life? Okay, fine. I'm putting you into the desert. And I know it sounds a little weird, but the point is this. Rather than God giving us what we want, he gives us what we need instead. Because if we want to have more, then we must become more. And we can only become more when we grow into the person worthy of it. So here's what I know. Success doesn't ruin us. It reveals us. See, a lot of times we look at successful people and we say, oh, wow, look at that. You know, it'd be so amazing to have all that success. It'd be so amazing to have all those perks, tips, tools, tricks, tactics, you name it. I mean, wouldn't that be cool? It actually has a major price tag attached to it. It's called responsibility. It's called maturity. It's called character development. Most people are crushed under the weight of success, because that's what it is. It's a weight. It's got a huge weight. It's called responsibility. And check it out. Those of us who see people crushed by success, we say, oh, sure enough, it was his success that ruined them. No, it didn't. It was the success that revealed them. And all it revealed was they weren't able yet to handle it. That's why it's very good not to get a windfall of success. Because if you do, you are often on the headlines the next day. It's much better to grow slowly into success, to develop over time, to be in the desert, even though it's not fun, to be in the desert so that you can forge the character that you need. Here's some examples. Check it out. The desert is a place of testing. You either pass or fail. But if you fail, just like any test in life, you fail your driver's test, what do? You go back and repeat it again and again and again until you finally pass it. It's the same thing with the desert. I don't know about you, but I do not want to be in the same desert over and over and over again for decades and decades and decades. I want to learn it the first time. Sounds wise, right? I mean, I'm not a pain fanatic. I'd rather learn the first time, get through the desert, develop the character, and move on into the abundant blessings. And then, yeah, down the road further, I'm sure there'll be another desert to develop the next character maturity that I need. Here's the point. Look at Daniel, David, Esther, and Joseph. Each of these figures had a desert experience too. Remember? Daniel was exiled, taken from his own people as a young kid, thrown into a bunch of other groups with young boys, told you gotta compromise your integrity. You have to eat meat sacrificed to idols. Daniel says, no, I don't want it. Stood up at a very tough time early on in his exile. The guy says, you're crazy. You want to eat just vegetables and water? Fine, we'll give it a shot. Boom. He makes it through the desert. Little test right there. What about David, hunted down by King Saul like a dog, hiding in caves, fearing his own life? Yep, desert. Esther, ordered to be exterminated. You remember that? Her and all of her people. You now have a death sentence on you overnight. That's a desert. And then Joseph, sold into slavery by his own brothers. Think about that. Have you ever had that? I never have. I've never been sold into slavery. I'm told in the ancient world, you would be sold on a slave auction block naked where everyone would mock you. And then he makes it through that, stands up against temptation, and he's thrown into jail for 2 years. You might say, what is going on? Yeah, desert experience. But what happens? Look what happened. Daniel became the ruler over the entire province of Babylon and in charge of all the wise men. David became king, the first king over the nation. No, not the first king. Second king over the nation of Israel. Esther became queen. Joseph became the second in command of the most powerful country in the world. If you go to them and you say, was it worth it? I don't know. I can't ask them. But I would think they would say, yeah. Because if I didn't go through the desert, that would have killed me. That would have crushed me. So folks, if you are in the desert, this is a big, huge sign that amazing things are coming your way. God has said, out of anybody in the universe, I'm going to pick this person to go through this desert because I want to develop in them maturity so that they can handle the next assignment I'm going to give them. So here we are, and here's what I know. Just because you go into the desert, you got to catch this, folks. The desert alone doesn't dictate an instant upgrade. You got to hear me on this. Just because you're in the desert doesn't mean you're in. It means that you have the potential to be in. It doesn't mean an automatic instant upgrade. What I know is that it all matters how we respond when we're in the desert. Because you can be in the desert for your whole life if you don't get the lesson, if you don't pass the test. So I was in a desert for a lot of years. And I didn't enjoy it, but what I learned is there are 10 responses. 10 responses, and that's what we're here for today. 10 responses that I'm going to give you that when you master these 10 responses, it will shorten your stay in the desert and it will increase your chances of a significant upgrade. So I'm going to list them and then unpack them. Actually, I'm going to unpack them one at a time. Going to take a deep dive so you can get these and jot these down. They're all in the show notes. In fact, in the show notes, we have some really cool special opportunities coming. Folks, quick break here. If you are not coming to the Igniting Souls Conference yet, folks, October 22nd and 23rd in Columbus, Ohio, if you enjoy the podcast, if you get fed through this audio, if you resonate with our brand, it's not a question of, can I come? What's the cost of coming? This is one of those things in life where you are needing to flip the whole question. And you need to say, what's the cost of me not being in the room? This is not a recorded conference. We don't record our conferences and resell them, this type of thing. We don't do that. Because we want everyone in the room to get the maximum effect. Because you cannot replicate the person who's sitting next to you, who's creating a business that, hey, you become their business partner, or you speak on their stage, they speak on their stage. Folks, this is a topic called becoming unhackable. And I'm going to teach you from my new young adult fiction book. I'm going to pull out some crazy advanced content on why you were created to co-create, why you were created with ideas and you were called to implement them. and how in the very beginning of time, we went from ideation to implementation without any gaps. But then in life, something happened. You were hacked. And as a result, many times your ideas and your dreams don't happen. And there are all kinds of hacks that I've identified. And once we identify those, then we can close those gaps and we can actually implement our dreams and our ideas. This is one of those things, folks, that you will mark on your calendar and say, this was a life-shifting moment for me in my business, in my life. We have people coming from Australia, from Europe, from all over the place. And some people in my own hometown are like, well, I don't know if I should come. Folks, IgnitingSoulsConference.com. Special guests teaching you how to become unhackable on stage, on video, on your online business, and then in your mind. October 22nd and 23rd, IgnitingSoulsConference.com. A few tickets left. That's it. All right, here's another one. If you are going to launch a book, a business, a brand in the next 5 years, if you are not part of the Elixir Project VIP launch experience, you are absolutely missing out. Folks, this is where for 6 months leading up to the book release, I am taking you backstage behind the curtain and teaching you daily tips, tools, and tactics for your own launch of your book, business, or brand. Folks, we already have 250 people that are in that group. It is a rocking party, and if you are not there, you are absolutely missing out. You go to elixirprojectbook.com. You click the little button. It is a brief, brief application. We basically just want to weed out the crazy people. All right, the people who are there to just spam people, who are just there to take and not be focused on what we all are focused on, which is launching your book, brand, or business. So folks, you absolutely need to be in there. If you're listening to the podcast, which you are, you already fit. You already resonate with the content. And so many of you have already purchased the book. Thank you. Thank you so much. You've sent me pictures of your receipt, whatever. Amazon already got the clue. They've already tagged this book as one that is going to be hot, and they've already slashed the price. So, by the way, little tip there. If your book is available for pre-sale and they begin slashing the price, that's actually a good thing. That means that they think that the book is hot. That is not off your royalty, by the way. So, again, I love to mentor authors. And a lot of authors are like nervous. They say, oh, why is Amazon discounting my book? It's a good thing. It's a good thing. It means that they want it out there in the hands of people because they think it's hot. So thank you for already triggering Amazon with that. It's less than 10 bucks right now. So thank you, folks, for showing your support that way. A couple other quick tools here. We have, many of you have asked me, Carrie, how do I get control of my calendar? How do I get back on top of things? My email inbox, my calendar, my life, my margin, I need that. We created a free course, how to take back control of your calendar. All of this stuff is in the show notes. So as I mentioned, you just go to carryoverbrunner.com, you click blog, and then suddenly you see that we have every podcast episode has a blog post where it goes in-depth, fantastic. It's got a lot of the outline. And you will get tons of content extra in what's called the show notes. So it's great to listen to this while you're driving, while you're running. And then if you want to go back and jot down some of these URLs, that type of thing, you can absolutely find whatever I say in the show notes. Next one, how to build your own online tribe. Folks, we've been doing monthly Igniting Souls fellowships for 4 years. You've heard me talk about this. Up until June, we only had these in Ohio. You had to come to Ohio physically. We pack it out. You know, it's a great place, small room, I don't know, bunch of people. But in June, we decided to do it on Facebook Live, and thousands of you came. So you asked us to do it in July, and thousands of you came again. So we said, all right, maybe there's something to this. Maybe the tribe, the larger tribe out there, wants to learn. So we're going to do this. And all the time I get people who say, Carrie, my tribe is so much bigger than yours, and yet yours is better. How do you get a tribe that is better, that is actively engaged, totally in it to win it? They are givers. How do you do that? Well, it's because we've created an intentional culture. Great tribes do not happen by accident. So I'm going to teach you how to build a thriving, actively engaged culture within your tribe. Certain rules that I use, and this is August 12th. August 12th, absolutely free. It's going to be filmed live, and to get to register, because you need to register because we need to send you information, go to carryoverburner.com. You'll see on Igniting Souls Fellowship right on the homepage. You click it, boom, you're in, and we'll send you all the information that you need. Lastly, some of you have a book idea in you. I know what this feels like. You are now pregnant with a book. If you don't have a book idea yet, go to mybookhook.com. I basically take aspiring authors and I say, here's how you come up with a killer book idea. It's a free course, 7 days, mybookhook.com. But some of you have said, Carrie, I now know what I want to write about, but I have no idea how to get that thing out there. I have no idea how to flesh it out. Well, here's what you do. You need a blueprint. Just like anything in life, you cannot build a building without a blueprint. You cannot write a book without a blueprint. You need a blueprint. And this is created because so many people said to me, Carrie, how do I get in? How do I start? How do I take this idea and make it happen? Mybookblueprint.com. Check it out. It's my proven process. We have had hundreds and hundreds of people go through this process and turn their idea into books because of my book blueprint. All right, let's get back to the 10 right now, the 10 responses in the desert, because this is so important and that I want you to thrive. I want you to grow. I want you to not be in the desert one day longer than you have to be. So here are the 10 responses. Remember what I said as well. If this is, you know, too much faith for you, fine. Okay, come back next week. But I got to say that this is the truth, and so that's why I'm sharing it with you. Okay, so here it was. Back years ago, I was actually supposed to speak on stage. Years ago, I was this youth pastor, and it was parents' night. And it's parents' night, and you want to talk about happy things. And I wasn't feeling happy. I was actually feeling like I was in a desert, stuck. And I didn't want to be fake. I didn't want to go up there and, you know, give a fake talk and pretend to be all happy when I wasn't. So I kind of went in my office and I said, okay, I'm going to speak something real, something raw, but I need help because the time is almost there for me to speak. This is parents' night, the night of you do not change your talk. So I dove into the scriptures and I found Psalm 106, and this never has happened before or never happened since, but literally within about 15 minutes, everything popped out, like 10 steps while you're in the desert popped out, and that's what I'm sharing with you today. So this is fresh, this is real, comes straight from Psalm 106, and many times it's a bad example of what the nation of Israel didn't do, but I think you'll resonate. I'm going to go pretty quick. Here we go. Number one, believe God's promises. Folks, when you are in the desert, you want to give up. You don't want to believe in God's promises. In fact, this is where the first temptation ever happened, in the Garden of Eden. The enemy came and said, did God really say not to eat of the tree, of the knowledge of good and evil? That's what happens. We begin to get deceived, and we begin to get we doubt God. And when you're in the desert, don't do that. Don't doubt God's promises, because they're there for a reason and they're stronger than the way that you feel. In fact, here's four doubts that we often have. We doubt God's presence. We say, are you really here? We doubt God's providence. We say, are you really good? We doubt God's power that says, can you really help me? And we doubt God's plan that says, can I really trust you? Folks, these are the 10 responses in the desert. But the first one is believe God's promises, because we are doubters. When we don't see things that are good, we begin to doubt everything, and especially God. And if you do that, you are sunk. It is over. You're done. So do not believe. I mean, do believe God's promises, don't doubt. All right, now let's jump in to number two. All right, number two, sing God's praise. Now, I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, where is he going with this? I know I'm going to date myself. I know all the cool young people in the room are going to think I'm not cool, but that's okay because I'm bald and I have a girl's name, all right? I'm a bald guy with a girl's name. I don't care if you don't think I'm cool, all right? But I'm going to date myself. I'm going to say some music choices back in the day. Late 90s, yes. When I was in a desert, I wanted to listen to Counting Crows, Smashing Pumpkins, Nirvana, you name it. And how did I feel after? Did I feel like, yes, I'm going to conquer the world? No. I felt more depressed. Why? Because I justified it by saying, well, you know, I don't feel happy, so I need music that's going to be an authentic reflection of how I feel in this moment. And what happened was it didn't bring me up. It actually brought me further down. Here's the point. When you're in a desert, I know it's a stretch of faith. I know you don't feel like putting on praise music or happy music or music that brings you out because you feel like it's fake. That's not who I am. But I'm telling you, folks, you rewire your brain. When you put on praise music, here's some good choices. Hillsong, great choice. Hillsong, Google it. I like a group called I Am They. I Am They. Super cool. Look, whatever your genre is, get music that's going to trigger your mind to get out of the desert. Even though you're physically in the desert, you feel like that. Get things that mentally bring you out of the desert. And I'm telling you, it will lift your spirits and put it on repeat. I am convinced that certain seasons of my life had mantras of songs where I would just loop that song over and over again because it had to, you know, work its way into my soul. That's a good thing. Okay, check it out. Number two. Number three, remember what God has done for you. Folks, we have such a short-term memory in life. We remember all the bad things, but we forget all the good things. God has provided for you in your past. This is why I am so about journaling. I want people to journal because they can go back then and they can say, you know what? God did heal me. God did provide for me. God did save my friend or, you know, restore that relationship or do that miracle. And when you don't journal and you have a short-term memory, you just forget. You think, oh, I'm in a desert and I've always been in a desert. No, you haven't. You've had some really good times and you need to remember that. And a journal helps trigger that. This is why God was so big in the Old Testament about using symbols. When the nation of Israel crossed the Jordan River, he said, pick up 12 stones and put them on top of each other and remember that you actually made it through the river, all right? So I'm big into symbols. I have things all over my office where, it, you know, I have a Shawshank poster. Boom, reminds me of escaping Shawshank, right? I have a little statue over there that reminds me of something else. I have a little pen box that my wife gave me. I have a little gargoyle pen that you know, all little things that remind me of certain seasons of my life that trigger memories. That is a good thing. So get your journal out and remember what God has done for you. All right, next one. We have number four, seek God's counsel. Folks, I'm telling you, when you are in the desert, you want to listen to everybody's counsel. I mean, I do, right? You're up for anything. And a lot of times people's counsel is not good. I mean, think about this. Think about Abraham's counsel when he couldn't have a son. Oh, you know, go sleep with my maidservant was the counsel. Or when think about Judas, the guy who betrayed Jesus, right? Counsel. Oh, he's not moving fast enough. Let's put him into a position where he has to bring the kingdom. So let's go betray him with 30 pieces of silver. Folks, when you are in the desert, be careful what counsel you're listening to. And I say, listen to God's counsel. Because last time I checked, he wrote the owner's manual of life. So I think he knows a little bit about us. All right, number five. Here it is. Do not give in to temptation. Folks, it is never good to make life-altering decisions when you're in the desert because your view of reality is just not good. They say never make decisions when you're hungry or tired, right? You regret it. In fact, check this out, true story. I'm reading a book right now called Thinking Fast and Slow. And they did the research, this is crazy, about judges. And they decided how many judges and juries would give people less and lighter sentences. And they did basically massive research on this. And they realized that the closer judges had food in their stomachs, the less sentences and more lenient sentences they pronounced. But as they went longer in the day without food, they basically gave crazy tough decisions. Now think about that. I don't want to be one of those people that has a judge when he's hungry because I'm going to get a bad sentence. This is crazy stuff, folks, but it's a true story, a true report, Thinking Fast and Slow. It's a book. But here's the point. When you are in the desert, be careful. Be careful what type of temptation you're giving into. And here's the fact. You have a smartphone. Smartphones are basically a porn shop in your pocket. Smartphones are a gossip fest in your pocket. Smartphones, for many people, are their brain, which means they don't think about what they're going to post on an update before they post it. Folks, be careful when you're in the desert. At least the nation of Israel did not have smartphones. We do. It's a tool. It's not bad. It's not good. It's a tool. But just be careful when you're in the desert what you say. And I see a lot of people who are entrepreneurs trying to make it big, but they attach their smartphone to their brain. And here's the point. They're trying to get clients and they keep posting, oh, life stinks. Oh, this, this, this. Oh, but buy my business. Take me on as a client. You know, be one of my clients. Folks, be careful when you're in the desert. Just be careful. Don't give in to temptation. Number six, don't envy others. Oh, wow. We used to be able to view other people's backyards from our yard, right? The neighbor's grass is greener on the other side. And now we have 1 billion people's backyards on our smartphones. It's called Facebook. So all I'm saying is be careful, because when you're in the desert, you can easily say, well, look at, they're in Hawaii. I mean, they're going snorkeling today in Hawaii. Look at that. That's pretty sweet. What am I doing? I'm going to the mailbox. I mean, that's my big trip. Walk down the driveway, right? Or we say, look at what they're eating. I mean, gee, I'm envious. What am I eating today? White Castle or whatever, whatever, ramen noodles, whatever. You can easily become envious of other people, and that will sap the joy, the gratitude, so much of your life force, and it will force you to fail the desert. You will fail the test if you begin to envy others when you're in the desert, just like Moses's brother and sister failed, and one of them got leprosy because they were jealous. They were absolutely jealous. All right, let's go now to number 7. All right, number 7, here we go. Do not turn to familiar idols. Do not turn to familiar idols, folks. I get it. It's easy to do. And all I'm saying is this. Remember Pascal's quote. I love it. It says, all of man or woman's evil results from our inability to sit quietly in a room by ourselves, because if we did, we would be bored. And if we were bored, we would force our way out. What Pascal was saying was, before internet, before TV, you've heard me say this before perhaps, he saw a trend with his generation. It was that people were tempted and they gave into the familiar idols of their day that distracted them. And the distraction, what it did for them is it basically prevented them from growing into the person they needed to become. It distracted them. And you look at today, folks, we have so many distractions. So I want to challenge you, when you're in the desert, do not give in to familiar idols. We all have these things called vices, and vices are this easy fix that numbs the pain. But when you numb your pain, you numb your potential, and do not just go for the quick fix. Do not numb your chronic pain. Choose acute pain instead. It's short-term, it's focused, it's intentional, and it will get you out of the long-term pain. Number 8. Do not despise the place you're in. You can so easily in the desert begin to hate it, begin to think it's the villain, begin to think that it's the enemy, instead of realizing that it is the place of preparation before exaltation. You need to realize that when you are bitter, it becomes a root that grows and defiles you and everybody around you. So you can see people who are in the desert. You can absolutely read it all over their face. The people who are in the desert who are not enjoying it and who view it as a curse feel cursed, and they feel like they are responsible to basically unload their ungratefulness, their bitterness on everybody else. You know these people. How's your day? How's your food? I mean, people do this all the time. They hate the desert and they begin to despise it, and it grates at them. And it is not the enemy. It is simply a tool that is being used at a temporary time in your life. It will pass, but it's being used to prepare the character that you need to sustain the success that is going to come your way. Number 9, do not grumble. Folks, I've said it plenty of times. Victims lie in bed, blame, excuses, and denial. Who you are is who you attract. If you do not want to attract blamers, people who make excuses, people who live in denial, then stop being one. Instead, be a victor, someone who puts your oar in the water, ownership, accountability, and responsibility, and moves forward. Who you are is who you attract. You want to attract some super cool people, become that type of person. Because trust me, victims attract victims, victors attract victors. And we are a tribe of victors. Absolutely. Number 10, obey the Lord. Obey God. Obey God. Obey God. It says in my favorite book, if you love God, you will obey his commands. I know it's tough to do, but look at it. My kids can tell me all day long, we love you, Daddy. We love you, Daddy. We love you, Daddy. And then basically disregard, disrespect, not listen to me, not give a care about what I'm saying. Do you think I feel loved at the end of the day if that's how they are? No. So why do we think that that's cool with God? You know, we're his children and what? We can just disrespect, right? Disregard anything he says? No. If you want to get out of the desert faster, okay, faster, it is God. And check this out. Great verse. One of my favorites. It was a big promise for me. It's called Psalm 75:6-7. But here's what it says. It says, not from the east, nor from the west, nor from the desert comes promotion, comes advancement, comes upgrades, but only from God. Folks, that is amazing. That says that the desert is not the place that is going to give you an upgrade. It is the potential of the place that's going to give you the upgrade. It's God who gives you the upgrade. Folks, this is Carrie Oberbrunner. I want you so much to be a soul on fire. It is Monday morning, August 1st, right where I am today recording this. I'm going to upload this puppy. You're going to get it. Let me know what you think. I mean, literally, we are within hours of recording and posting. Let me know what you think. Shoot me a line. I don't know, wherever you find this on social media. Say hey. Say I'm in it. Say the desert is not a bad place. Say I will overcome. Folks, you're victors. I'm so proud of you. I believe in you. Check out all those free tools that I put in the show notes. The Igniting Souls Conference, the VIP launch team, the how to take back control of your calendar, how to build your own online tribe, and your book, Blueprint, my book, Blueprint. It's an honor to serve you. I love you guys. I care about you. I want you to grow. I want you to achieve every single thing that you were put on this earth to achieve. And together we're doing that through Igniting Souls. We'll see you.